I wonder how many of you have ever had a smartphone from absolutely brand new out the box? Or, yep, there we go, there's a few people. Maybe you've not had a brand new one, but maybe you've had a hand-me-down, but just as you receive it or before you receive it, it's given a full hard or factory reset so that when you then first turn it on, it's as if it's come out of a box from new. When you have a smartphone brand new out the box or from the hard resets, what is one of the first things that it asks you for? Language, yeah. And then the next thing? Wi-Fi, yes. It asks for the Wi-Fi. The phone wants connection. It wants to be connected on the network. And then the next thing it asks for is a username password to give it identity and connection with some higher power of Google or Apple or something out there. And that connection is there from the moment, or that desire for connection is from the moment it's switched on. It's been designed in, it's been part of how it has been made to want and desire that connection with the higher things. Without it, yes, the phone will basically work, but it will be a lesser phone. Give it the connection, give it the Wi-Fi code, sign in with your username and password, and suddenly all these other facilities and apps and wonderful things also become available and your phone flourishes. Well, guess what? Us as human beings are pretty much the same. We were designed for connection. We were built, we were made from the moment we are born, even perhaps before, to yearn for that connection, to desire the connection and identity with something much, much bigger than us. Someone who will enable us to flourish. Without it, we find ourselves lost and lacking identity. It is a yearning that is in there, in our hearts, from the very beginning. It's the way we were designed. It's the way we were made to want that connection. So you may ask, well, how does one satisfy that yearning for connection? How does one get that connection? Well, we have just heard the answer for times over in Flo, in Alexis, in Lisa, and in Ian. Their answer is in Jesus Christ. For in Jesus Christ, all the fullness of God exists in bodily form. That's what that guy Paul wrote in his letter to early Christians in the Greek Empire that Benjamin read for us a few moments ago. All the fullness lives in bodily form, and he goes on, you have been brought to fullness in Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate source of connection. He is the head over every power and authority. He is the one where we find our true identity and our ability as human beings to flourish. Well, why is it him and not some other famous figure? Because it is only in Jesus, who is God come as a person in human form. You see, other famous figures might do something noble. They might do something brave. They might even sacrifice in some way, sacrifice themselves, might sacrifice for a cause or for a people. But it will be for a limited set. Whereas Jesus gave up his life for all of mankind, everyone and laid down his life. And yet, as we discover on Easter Day, when those first people who knew Jesus and had seen him died and seen his body laid in a tomb, they went on the Sunday morning to discover that the body was not there, that he was alive and is living today. He has laid down his life and is yet still alive. No other person has done that, no matter how famous and important they are. Now, we all crave identity, don't we? We all are trying to work out who we are, and identity is really important to us. I get that. And the guy writing this letter got that as well. He said to those early Christians, he said, God has given you a permanent mark of belonging. And this is not something done by human hands, it's not done by some ritual or whatever. It is something done direct by God, if you like, a God's person spirit connection. He has enabled that identity. Now, our culture today, I have to say, doesn't buy that. It has a radically different idea about where you find your identity. Our culture today will suggest, and I think I can condense it down into five words. Our culture today says this. It says, I feel, therefore I am. I feel, therefore I am. In other words, whatever you feel, whatever you feel like, whatever you want to be, who you want to be, you can be that person. That is what our culture says today, and it's very affirming, it's very positive. There's no discrimination in that statement. It sounds good, but I think it is lacking, because there is no substance to it. There is nothing to ground it, nothing to say, yes, that works because. And I also observe that our feelings, myself included, can vary up and down and all over the place. So if I say I feel this, but tomorrow I might feel that, or next year I might feel something different. So I find that that philosophy that our culture likes to promise is lacking. I wonder if it's like the smartphone that has no connection. It's just floating around. It looks good. It looks like a phone. It might have a nice sparkly case, but it doesn't have the proper connection that grounds it and enables it to be what it was always designed to be. So let me suggest an alternative philosophy. Rather than I feel, therefore I am, I want to suggest I know Jesus, therefore I am. Because he is the ultimate connection point. He properly grounds us. He is God come in human form. He enables us to find out who we really are and who we were designed to be right from the outset. And you might say, well, how do I get to this point of knowing Jesus, therefore who I am? Well, fortunately for us, Jesus has shown us the way. He has shown us the way to discover this. You see, Jesus had full connection with God the Father throughout his earthly life. And he trusted God the Father to the hilt. And he trusted God the Father even though his own life was going to have to be laid down. He was going to be taken, cruelly beaten up and tortured, and then hung on a cross to die. He still continued to trust God the Father through all that to the hilt. And that trust was totally justified. because, yes, he died. But God the Father did not leave him dead. And on Easter morning, he was alive again. Different people were able to see him. He was able to sit down and even eat with some people. And he appeared to all kinds of people. He was alive. He is alive. He is alive today. And that's the way. And so for us, our way is to say, yes, I want to put my trust in Jesus, who has already been through it and shown me ahead of me. I want to put my life totally in his and trust him, and he will hold me through everything that life might throw at me. But that means saying to ourselves that the way I normally do life, the way I try and live my life on my own, has got to go. If I'm to put my life in Christ, then my way has got to stop. It's a bit like, you know, you've got a friend and they say my smartphone's playing up and it's got a mind of its own. You know, I try and do one thing and it does something else, or it keeps flickering on and off or whatever. And their smartphone has gone rogue. The answer to that comes to the point where they say, I'm going to have to do a hard factory reset on it. Well, that's the same when we put our lives trusting in Christ. We say, it's time. My life has gone rogue for too long. It's time for a hard factory reset. Sink my life into Christ, to trust that he will see me through, and he will, because he is absolutely faithful. And that is what baptism so wonderfully shows. As you go down into the water, you say, that's it, my way is cut. It's over, hard reset, down into the water. And you come back up for a new life in Jesus Christ. That new life is something that is possible. That new life is something that is available. That new life is something that has been made ready for each and every person in this room today. So humor me for a moment and take a look at your hands, big or small, and stare at them for a few moments. Look at all the wrinkles and the patterns and the amazingness of your hands and your fingers. But as you stare into them, imagine that your hands are kind of some kind of spiritual life mirror, reflecting something back at you. What do you see as you look at your hands and consider your life to this point? God enables you in Jesus Christ to do a hard reset. To say, old life can be cut. I will go forward from this point on in Jesus Christ. And that is one prayer away, which I will pray now. And if you would like that reset that I talk about, that connection that your heart has been yearning for since before the day you were born, then pray along with me now. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for coming into this world. I thank you for trusting God the Father and laying down your life. Lord Jesus, I now bring my life before you. Come and forgive me. Come and enable me to reset. I want to live my life in you and following you. And so now, Spirit of God, come and empower each of us who have prayed that prayer, maybe first time today, or maybe we've re-prayed it because we prayed it many times before. Raise us up and connect us with all the wonders and the fullness of God. And empower us to go forward from this day knowing you. And to flourish in all that you are and all that you give. May I be the person you designed, you willed, you desired me to be. Amen.